prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, November 4th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
Oh, Election Day. Woo-hoo.
We're having an election today?
Yeah, I think there's an election.
How come they didn't say anything about that in the news reports?
I don't know.
I don't get that.
Yeah, I know what all those advertisements were all about.
I think these elections are just something that's been foisted off on the American people in order to support the TV advertising industry.
Perhaps.
Election, people buy all this time on their television stations, make a bunch of money. It's kind of like Christmas for normal retailers. We have elections every 2 years. Instead of Christmas once a year for normal retailers, we have elections every 2 years for the TV advertisers. And that's what keeps commercial TV going.
Yes, but you know what? Today is not a true national election.
Yeah, well,
so
that's...
We'll be talking about that in a little bit.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting. You haven't already seen this.
Yeah.
Guess who thinks this isn't a true national election? We'll get to that in a little while. I don't know. We're gonna name. Let's see. It could be Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin, Winston Churchill, or one other significant figure. Who could that other significant figure be? We'll get into that when we get a little deeper into the program.
And we're going to go right into gold. Gold was managed $2.50 to the positive today at $1,168.80. Silver was down 11 cents today at $16.14. Platinum was down 16 at $12.26. And palladium was down 18 at $788. The USDX today down, finally, 0.26 at 87.05. Crude oil took another beating today, down 0.1.63 at 77.15. And the paper markets today, you have the Dow up 17 at 17.383. The NASDAQ down 15 at 46.23. And the S&P minus 5 at 20.12. 10-year yield today, 2.34%. So... Election Day, Al.
I understand
so
that.
So what's this about this national? It's not a national.
Oh, my God. You know, I mean, let me find this.
You know what? It just can't become much worse than what it is. I mean,
it just becomes bizarre.
Yes.
Bizarre. This is from the White House. This is reported in the Washington Times. And the headline is White House, : Tuesday's vote not a true national election. Despite signs pointing to Republican gains in today's midterm elections, White House aides said President Obama won't change his leadership style because the contests in the red states don't represent a true national election. What would a true national election be, Melody?
You tell me.
That would be where everyone votes for Obama. It would be like in the communist country where he gets at least 97-98% of the vote is all for Comrade Obama. He would perhaps admit that it's a true national election, but he's saying this is not a true national election. With the GOP in striking distance of regaining control of the Senate, White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest said Monday that the vast majority of Senate races are actually taking place in states that the president did not win in the last presidential election. Yeah. Okay.
So,
and your point is?
Yes.
And he said that the Republican-friendly nature of this year's electoral map would be a reason for the White House to limit any lessons learned from the outcome. All right? So Obama doesn't have to take any lessons from the outcome here. Whatever is going on, this is not a referendum on his leadership ability or style or goals or values or anything. This is not about Obama, even though the Democrats don't want him around. All right, they don't come down here. You'll ruin my chances of being elected. Nobody wanted him to come down, or virtually no one in the Democrat Party wanted his assistance to try to win an election this year. And the lesson here, and I've talked about this a little in the past, Obama's vanity is almost unparalleled. All right? The perfect gift for this man is a mirror where he can just sit there and look at himself. He doesn't have to learn. What he's saying, he doesn't have to learn anything from the outcome of this election. Today, all 435 House seats, 33 Senate seats, and 38 governorships are up for grabs. In the past, or in the last midterm election, 2010, Republican wave bolstered by the Tea Party movement led the GOP to picking up 63 seats in the House and 6 in the Senate. Analysts described it as a national rebuke to Mr. Obama's policies, especially the Obamacare and the $821 billion economic stimulus program. Obama didn't. He doesn't have to learn anything from that. All he has to do is look in the mirror, see the pretty face in the mirror, and then you don't have to learn anything. After asked if the election... I don't know that I need to go into this anymore. Yeah, let's do. Here's one more paragraph. Asked if the election results from those states that supported the president will be less meaningful this year, Mr. Earnest replied, "The vast majority of people say that their vote is determined by something other than sending a message to the president of the United States. So I would take those voters at their word. I'd take them at their word, too. I think it's probably a sensible decision on the part of the voters to view this election as something other than sending a message to Obama, because any message that he receives that conflicts with his vanity and ego will be ignored. So instead of sending a message to Obama, who doesn't pay any attention to the messages, the voters seem determined to send a message to the Democrat Party, who, unlike Obama, may actually listen." President Vice President Joseph Biden said Monday the White House is ready to compromise after the midterm elections, but that the Republican victory on Tuesday wouldn't force the administration to undergo a wholesale overhaul of how it does business. New NBC News, Wall Street Journal poll found that 67% of the American public want to see Mr. Obama make substantial changes in the direction of his leadership. That's two-thirds want substantial changes. Not a little tweaking, not a little tune-up, substantial changes. Two-thirds. Even 47% of Democrats in the survey said they want the president to significantly alter his leadership style. I think that means take the mirrors down in the White House. You think they should take the mirrors down, Melody?
Well, you know what's interesting is because you had mentioned that in 2010, the Republicans was bolstered by the Tea Party movement, yep, to where they were able to pick up all those House seats and the Senate seats. This time, you didn't have that Tea Party atmosphere going on. Mainly the elections is mainly the ill against the Democrats in the White House. So it kind of makes you wonder, if you don't have that type of movement like the Tea Party had the last time, will these Republicans be successful? Even though there's a distaste for what's coming out of Washington, lack of leadership and the Democrats in so much hot water, without that positive movement of the Tea Party, makes you wonder what the outcome will actually be today.
No, it's only a question of whether they get beaten so badly they're almost unconscious, or if they're actually beaten to death. That seems to be the two options for the Democrats. I'm exaggerating. I mean, nobody gets beaten to death in these elections. Maybe later, but not during the election.
It'll be interesting to see.
It'll be interesting to see. We're watching. You know, if we could get some reports right now on what the voter turnout is, it'd give us a good indication of what's likely to happen. I don't care how a big voter turnout, to my mind, implies that the Republicans are going to win going away. A small voter turnout is dangerous because it may be that the Republicans figure this is in the bag and they don't have to bother voting. And if they don't, it's possible that the Democrats can surprise things. They can surprise us. I don't doubt they'll be net losers based on today's elections, but they may not lose as much as had been feared. And then Obama can get up there and crow and tell us all that this was a referendum on Obama's policies, and people like him and love him and worship him and just want to do whatever he says.
Okay.
All right.
Alrighty then. What's next, Al?
Oh, I don't know. We got another one on Obama here. Here's an explanation for what's happening. This is again from the Washington Times. Obama loses his base as broken promises breed disillusioned Democrats. Enthusiasm gap favors GOP as women, minorities, young voters feel let down by president. That's the sub-headline. As voters cast their final verdict on President Obama Tuesday, Democrat hope has changed to frustration. This is just another one. I don't know where they found this guy. Central casting. You know, there are some people that say actors are idiots, and that's not true for all actors, but it's true. You know, it's true for some actors. Some actors, they have a talent for acting, but they don't have a clue to what's going on around them. Right? And Obama is that kind of a president. As voters, the president isn't on the ballot, although he insists, with poorly timed pride, that the midterm election is a referendum on his agenda. Right? He's saying it's all about me. It's not truly, on one hand, he's saying it's not really a national election. On the other hand, he's saying it's all about me. It's a referendum on my agenda. And they say, with poorly timed pride. This is consistent with what I'm telling you about this guy's ego, his vanity. It's just pathological. He doesn't have a big ego. He has a pathological ego. Democrat candidates who are trying to keep control of the Senate hope voters aren't listening to him. You understand? The Democrats are, my God, will the man please shut his mouth at least until after the election? Obama's done this a couple of times. We talked yesterday where he insulted stay-at-home moms. Right? That was one of his insults. He's managed to alienate blacks because he lets Hispanics into this country, and the Hispanics take the jobs that might otherwise have gone to blacks. He manages to alienate Hispanics because he promised that he was going to give them amnesty, some sort of an amnesty, and legalize the illegal aliens, and he hasn't done it. He's alienated Republicans, of course. And average Americans, 67% or more are alienated. And even the Democrats are aggravated at this guy, which is almost an impossible political achievement. This guy has managed to alienate almost everybody, and yet he insists that he doesn't have to learn anything from this election. You know, it becomes just nuts. Lowest job approval rating, leaking support from almost every part of his original winning 2008 coalition, women, minorities, young voters. More than two out of three voters now believe the nation is on the wrong track. What happened? He lost a lot of his base because he overpromised and underperformed. That's according to a professor of political science. Hispanics were, they talk about Hispanics and the young are offended. They're aggravated because they can't get jobs. And the Hispanics are aggravated that he didn't grant amnesty. And the blacks, they don't mention it in this report, they're aggravated because he let the Hispanics into this country, take black jobs. What's the real problem here? I think it's this. There's other ways of looking at this. They are saying that Obama's problem is too many promises that he couldn't keep. Made too many promises, and he couldn't match the promises with performance. That's part of it. That's one way of looking at it. But another way of looking at it is this. President Obama came to the White House with a radical political agenda. He intended to change the nature of this country to a significant degree. Right? He had a political agenda unlike anything we've seen. I doubt. When was the last time we saw a president who came to office with as radical agenda, with the intentions that were as radical as Obama's? I don't think I've seen it before in my lifetime. Maybe it's happened and I just wasn't paying attention. But I think he's the most radical man to reach the White House in my lifetime. Now, he's got what I regard as a radical political agenda. At the same time, the economy is in big trouble. And I think he made a very fundamental mistake by trying to both stimulate the economy and simultaneously implement his radical political agenda. I don't think you can do two. I think if the economy has been big trouble, any president's first order of business, I don't care what your political agenda is, first, heal the economy. Because if you can do that, you are going to capture everybody's support. And it'll make it so much better, easier to implement your radical political agenda. But if you're going to try to implement a radical political agenda at the same time you are trying to stimulate and heal the economy, I don't think you can do both. I think they may even be counterproductive, and I think that may be perhaps the big strategic mistake that he made. He felt he had to do the political agenda at the same time he was working on the economy, and I think the net result was it's just not a possibility. I don't think you can pull it off.
I don't know, Al. If they would have healed the economy, then people are a little more focused on what's going on around them. You give them troubles, and you can pretty much pull anything over them and buy them. So I'm not so sure.
It depends. Besides, but I mean, if you'd healed the economy, I'm thinking of Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan came in after we'd had some serious problems. He came in, and it was morning in America. He essentially gave people confidence in the economy, and after that, people followed him in a way that they might not have done otherwise. It would have garnered enormous public support, where trying to do both, I think he shot himself in the foot.
No doubt Reagan was a Pied Piper. I mean, he did bring that one item that we talk about so often, confidence. He was a strong person. He was going to kick anybody's butt that messed with the U.S. of A.
And, I agree. But Obama was not
leadership. Now we're giving
agenda.
Everything. Yeah.
It was not to kick anybody's butt who messed with the USA. In many regards, it was to
give away
those who messed with the USA. Yeah. We'll take a break for some commercial announcements. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom, Financial Survival, Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
We're going to continue with yesterday's special for $699.20 pre-1921. Most of them are pre-1900, but these pre-1921 circulated Morgan silver dollars, beautiful, and a 1/10 of an ounce American Gold Eagle, $5 face value, include shipping for $699, and they need to give us a call. And I encourage folks to visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And of course, if you sign up for the newsletter, we're kind of tracking, well, we've always tracked, but if you have any problems getting your weekly issues, please let us know. That means there something needs to be fixed, and it seems like everything is working perfectly, but I just encourage you to let us know if for some reason you missed your issue. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. I guess this is good news. The election eve dump out. Eric Holder releases Fast and Furious documents that got him cited for contempt. The Justice Department provided investigators with documents that were related to Operation Fast and Furious that Obama had previously claimed were exempt from congressional view. It's amazing. They handed over 64,000 pages of documents.
Yeah, you know why they do that?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly.
They
everybody
give you
knows.
A haystack, and let's see if you can find
the needle. Yep.
Yeah. That's what happens. But they know what there's probably 5 critical documents out of the 64,000, and now it's up to the government or whoever is in charge, whoever is investigating. Let's see if you can find the needles in that haystack.
Yeah, and actually, the pages, the 64,000, still do not represent the entire amount of the documents that the House of Representatives were looking for in related to this cover-up on this on the Fastest Furious that contributed to the death of a Border Patrol agent. So,
let me ask you this, Melody.
What's that, Al?
If you had a project that you were in charge of, and there were 64,000 documents that were associated with your project, how many of those documents do you think you could read and be aware of? And if you couldn't read and be aware of all of them, are you really in charge of the project?
No. Let me ask you a question. Are you talking to about the one putting together those 64,000?
I'm talking about anybody.
Well, if I was putting together those 64,000 pages and it was in relationship to Eric Holder, I would know those two little sentences, where they were, where you could find them that were critical to this investigation. So, no,
my point is, whatever is going on here, Eric Holder, in a sense, can't be in charge. He may be responsible, but he can't really be in charge of Fast and Furious.
No.
If there's 64,000 documents, nobody can read them.
No, but you know
where this... time. The whole time he's been in office, he doesn't have enough time to read all those documents and understand them. The whole thing, it's evidence
no.
that the whole system is out of control.
But it's still like reading a book, but you know where the good parts are and you know where to go to. Like when you were a kid.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you always knew which pages were the good pages.
Mm-hmm.
So, they know.
We understood.
But they also understand...
Now we read the whole document back then. We were smarter as kids. We knew how to cut to the chase. You understand? Now we read plod through all every little detail. We read them all.
But they also know the people that they're giving those pages to. They know that they're not going to spend the time.
Well, the thing about
necessary.
It's like anything else when you get into investigation, when you get into intelligence. You know, the government is allegedly spying on all of us. Okay. So if they spy on me, is anybody really... They're collecting information with a computer. They're sorting that information with a computer. But who actually reads the information?
Computers.
You know, you can collect so much information, there's nothing you can do with it. You don't have the resources to really digest it. And that's what we're having. I think they have information overload in the government. I think they're spying on so many people. If they target a particular individual, yeah, they've got all kinds of documents to bury you. But how do they decide who to target?
Well, just like in this...
Not everybody. They could probably go after 200 million people in this country that are probably subject to some sort of criminal prosecution if the truth were known.
If you just said boo.
Yeah, you said boo.
Boo.
Yeah, you wrote something or you said something unkind about the great and glorious president. I don't know. World is nuts, but there are limits
really
on the insanity. There are limits on the insanity, I hope.
Today we had
is
oil.
Or is that a crazy comment, Melody? When I say there's limits on the insanity, is that perceptive or is that evidence that I've... gone off
crossed over
myself.
That you crossed over
maybe so.
well we'll decide that at a later date and time.
Right.
We'll monitor you.
Leave that to the historians. They can decide later on.
Oil prices stay again hit multi-year lows after Saudi Arabia discounted supplies to the U.S. and a move that is already shaking a market. I know here in the States with the shale, a lot of those companies got hit today on the market, which, you know, when I saw the numbers, who was that company in Iraq? Oh, shoot. Bush's Cheney's company.
I don't know. I can't remember this minute. I'll think of it in about 31 minutes, Melody.
Oh. All right. But we've seen about a 25% or so slide in oil prices since this summer. And You have a lot of consumer spending and business investments in many economies around the world as fuel bills fall. I saw numbers for gasoline as low as 242, I think, was a low number. It's not that low here in central Pennsylvania. But you have countries like Russia and Venezuela, of course, are having problems with their high extraction costs. And their budgets rely on they need relatively high energy prices.
Of course.
So, of course, they're certainly being hit. And I believe with the U.S., and we all know there's plenty of oil out there, and the Saudis are just kind of targeting to keep their control of their market share and perhaps put a little bit of pressure on the U.S. So maybe we can't export as much and so forth. So it'll be interesting to see how low she can go.
Well, it's going to be very interesting because much of what we've seen, we're getting to the bottom right now, I think, because my understanding is that at least on average, the people that are using fracking and pumping oil out of shale and the rest of that sort of thing, they need to get at least $75 a barrel to break even.
Halliburton, yes.
Yeah, Halliburton, that was it. I knew I'd think of that. but they need at least 75 bucks a barrel to break even. Well, we're getting close to that right now. And once we get below that break-even point, it may be that a lot of rigs that are currently involved in extracting oil by means of fracking and shale and so from shale and so on, they're going to be shut down. And when they do, the supply shuts down. And when the supply shuts down sufficiently, people start paying more money. So we're probably down close to that bottom. You know, it can't go a lot lower without shutting down much of the recent surge in supply. And, you know, it might be another, who knows, 90 days, even 6 months that we see price of oil down and maybe even fall lower. But it's going to turn off the spigot, and when it does, prices are going to go back up. Who's going to be in business when they start to go back up, Melody?
Well, it's funny because they talk about these high, you know, with gasoline prices lowering, that people are going out and they're starting to buy these big rigs again, you know, the SUVs, big trucks and so forth. Are people really that stupid? I mean, are they really that stupid? I shouldn't say that. But are they really that that easily manipulated and the
Melody.
And these are all people who can't, most of them, not all of them, as soon as the price of oil rises, oh, I can't drive my truck anymore.
The determining feature here is how far into the future can you peer with any reliability. And there are some people, they can't see past their next meal.
Yeah.
Right? And that's just the nature. There's some people lack the education and or the intelligence to look into the future. Their idea of the future is, what time does Dancing with the Stars come on? And it better be on tonight, because they're not talking about it tomorrow night or the day after that. There's other people that can take a longer view. And the people who can take a longer view, they make sensible investments. They don't necessarily have the most lively parties, but they make sensible investments, and in the end, they generally have food to eat even during difficult times. People that are living now, for the moment, not looking into the future, and not anticipating. You know, there's a bunch of people that if it feels good, they do it. Mm. They are impulsive. They're not thoughtful. They don't consider, what are the consequences? Yeah, it looks like this would be fun, but what are the consequences if this doesn't work the way I think it's going to work, or how might this work? I mean, you see it on the YouTube all the time. They call them fails. Got people jumping off roofs and riding on skateboards, and they're going to do something on one of these arm rails that are, you know, on a public facility, and they come zipping along and their skateboard, and they're going to ride the skateboard down the guardrail, and almost inevitably they lose control of the state skateboard and land on their crotch on the guardrail. And everybody gets a good laugh out of that. But it's one of the ways, I guess, we teach people to peer a little further into the future. What could happen if I do A? What could happen? What kind of consequences might there be?
What I talk a lot of the time is worst case scenario. What's the worst case scenario?
Worst case is least likely case. By definition, mm-hmm. worst case is least likely.
That's but you're prepared. Yeah. You're prepared for it.
Prepared for something or something that approaches, begins to resemble, you know. Maybe you're not going to get worst case. Maybe you get 60% of worst case. Well, better get ready.
Here's a Canadian startup, BioNIM. It's a maker of a wearable security device dubbed NIME. I don't know if it'd be NIME or NIME. It's teaming up with MasterCard and the Royal Bank of Canada to test whether the beat of your heart is true enough to verify payments. It's a wristband, which authenticates identity by using a person's cardiac rhythm. And this is supposed to eliminate the need for passwords, PIN codes, and all that other kind of stuff. The trial is going to allow the Royal Bank, Canada's largest bank, MasterCard, and customers using the technology to test this electrocardiogram authenticated payments before the end of the year. So so you can leave your phone at home, you can go out for a walk, a run, or run an errand, and you can make payment with just by tapping of the wrist through your... it doesn't really go on to say.
So it'll be your little MasterCard, your smart card, whatever, will pick mm-hmm. up, will sense
yes.
whether you are the person who has the proper
your heartbeats, yeah.
rhythm.
It's kind of like a light
to operate that card.
Sort of
and
like
if you run into, if you happen to stop in, if you've been jogging, my guess, and you stop in and say, maybe I really need a glass of water. I think I'm having a heart attack. And they say, we've got to check you out. And you say, no, your heart is too irregular for us to for your card to work. I don't know. I don't know that that's necessarily going to work. You're going to have to be in a very calm situation when you go in to use that card in the store. We've got another one here. Same idea. First card of its kind uses biometric payment technology. This is from another source. It's about to get a lot more difficult for someone else to use your credit card, MasterCard, and the biometric payment company Zwipe announced plans Friday to develop a payment card that allows you to make purchases by waving it over a payment terminal while placing your unique thumbprint on the card's biometric sensor. What they're talking about, you're going to have a MasterCard over in the corner of the card where you would normally grip it with your thumb when you're holding it. There's going to be a sensor there that will make sure that yours is the thumbprint that's on the card. And if your thumbprint is not on the card, is not the one that's on the sensor, you can't use it. Now, on the one hand, this strikes me as a brilliant idea. Because you just automatically, you hold the card in a particular way, and if your thumbprint's not there, the card's not going to work. So if someone steals your card and they don't have your thumbprint, the card's no good to them. All right? That's theory. Of course, it would be possible for people to capture you at the same time they capture your card and make an image of your thumbprint in one way or another, affix that image on top of the sensor on the card, and then they could go shopping, go to town shopping. I think it's a brilliant idea on one level, but again, what happens, you know, what happens if you go to use this thing and you've smudged a little ink on your thumb? All right? You're using a Bic pen and it started to leak, and oh my gosh, I've got ink on my thumb. Now what? How long will it take to get that ink off before you can use your card again? How many people are we going to see in line who are licking their thumb, trying to clean it before in line at the checkout counter, licking their thumb in order to try to make sure they get a clean imprint on their little card? How many people will we see sucking their thumb, trying to get a clean imprint? And I'm thinking, Melody, I'm starting a new business. we're going to have a thumb cleaner. You understand that you can carry in your pocket, you stick your thumb in there, it's kind of like a pencil sharpener, and it will clean your thumb. What do you think, Melody? Would you like to invest in my firm?
Let's go to Wall Street.
Let's go to Wall Street.
Let's go to break.
All right, let's go to break instead. Hal Fernandez, Melody Cederson, Financial Survival. Be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Here's some news. This is the second news day when there's been no, that I've noticed, when there's been virtually no Ebola news. What happened to Ebola, Melody?
Oh, it's there if you look for it.
Well, it's not screaming at me.
Well, they didn't want to interrupt the elections.
It might be. I don't know, but
well,
it is odd. It just...
Here's something. Rate of Ebola infections in Liberia drops sharply. Thousands break quarantine in search of food. You have hidden cases of malaria, pneumonia, and typhoid. Sierra Leone imprisons journalists under emergency Ebola measures. There you go.
Well, yeah, that's over in Africa. I'm talking about what about here in the United States? What happened to the pandemic I had planned for? Huh? Answer me that.
Well, they have bloody goat heads found dangling from New York City streetlights.
I don't think that's because of Ebola, though.
Don't think so?
No, I don't think so. Bloody goat heads. Did they say whether they were Republican goats or Democrat goats? It might signal which way this election is going to go.
You know, I think, you know, just to touch on the election, you know, the odd thing about this whole election, and you're right, the Democrats didn't want Obama hanging out with them and so forth. But I couldn't believe how many, I don't know, get-togethers or rallies that Michelle went to. I mean, even though she didn't know who she couldn't pronounce half the names properly of the Democratic candidate that she was stomping for, I was surprised at how many that she actually went to.
Well, you know, she's one of the few people in the Democratic Party right now that still carries at least some small measure of respect among some of the voters.
And you didn't see Hillary at any. I think there was like one.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah.
That is an interesting point because Hillary should.
She did get money for him. Mm. I didn't see her stomping. I think there was one. I think it was Iowa.
You would think that if she's running for the White House in 2016, she'd be trying to build up her political debtors. People say, well, they got elected because Hillary came and spoke on their behalf. She should be trying to put that team together right now. And if she's not, again, I told you back a week or so ago, maybe 2 weeks, I don't remember. I'm just guessing, that's all it is. I can't give you a prophecy. But I think Chelsea's new baby and Hillary's first grandchild
these people
is going
don't
to
have
birth
hearts.
Her from the White House.
These people don't have hearts. Look at their history, Al. You know what they did in their past lives.
I get that.
These
I'm not giving you prophecy,
have,
Melody, but I'm just telling
you. These people don't have hearts. They're incapable.
You might find them.
Unless they're grooming that baby to become president.
No, they're not doing that.
And they do groom them from a very early age. That I do believe.
If they're going to groom her to be president, they're looking for someone in Kenya. Get a family. We've got the Bush dynasty and maybe the Clinton dynasty. And now we may have a Kenyan dynasty before it's all over. May take a few more, another decade or two, but... we may have a Kenyan dynasty in Washington, D.C.
What's next, Al?
I got Jeff Clark is a senior precious metals analyst at Casey Research. He wrote an article where he dealt with what they described as tough questions. Comment on a couple of them. Question number one, if you're right about possible deflation... Jeff Clark has apparently said that, looks like we might have some deflation going on here. Won't the price of gold fall? Okay? And he responds, he says, initially, probably so, but it won't stay there. One reason is because the Fed and other central bankers won't sit idly by. They'll print even more money, and that means currency, and will keep doing so until they get the inflation they want. But this isn't just inflation versus deflation, it's crisis. And crises usually bring fear, and then they present a graph of the relationship between gold and the fear index, the VIX, and there's been a high correlation. When people are fearful, they buy gold. All right? And so he's saying, if there's deflation, price of gold, will price of gold fall? And he says, maybe, but not for long. I kind of agree with him, maybe, but not for long. I would agree. And the reason I look at it is this. During the Great Depression, during any period of deflation, the dollar or whatever currency you're dealing with becomes more valuable. You can buy more. It used to be $2 would buy you a dozen eggs. Well, during a period of deflation, you can get a dozen eggs for $1. Or maybe a dollar and a half, or maybe 75 cents. It depends. But prices fall. And most people look at it and say, oh, gosh, price of gas is down under $3 a gallon. Isn't that great? The price of gas is falling. The flip side of that is that we are entering an era of deflation, where the purchasing power of the fiat dollar is growing. Right? Now, is the price of gas falling, or is the purchasing power of the dollar growing? And if the purchasing power of the dollar is growing, insofar as that's true, it's a sign of deflation. It's not proof that we are dominated by deflation. Inflation may still be predominant. Go to the grocery store, buy groceries. You'll see the prices are still high and apparently rising. But a year ago, we didn't even think nobody could imagine there'd be deflation. And now we're seeing evidence of it, and people are saying, what if we go into an era of deflation? Could be. All right? Not necessarily here yet, but we are certainly headed in that direction. May not get there, but we're headed in that direction. And the reason this is important is because the dollar becomes more valuable. And therefore, everything else falls in price, and that should include gold. Right? Price of gold should drop in an era of deflation if we compare it back to the Great Depression. Deflation is usually associated with a recession and especially a depression. The currency becomes more valuable. But when we look back to the Great Depression, cash was king, right? The statement that people, everybody heard during the Great Depression, cash was king. If you had any cash, you could buy a lot with a little bit of cash because cash was more valuable. Cash was king. If you were ready to spend your cash, it had great value compared to what it had, say, 1928. By 1933, your cash was worth way more, could purchase way more than it could in 1928. And people say cash is king, and people think from that that the cash during the Great Depression was Federal Reserve notes, paper dollars. But the truth is that from 1929 to 1933, the currency was backed by gold. First 4 years of the Great Depression, the currency, you might have a paper dollar in your wallet, but if it was a gold certificate, it was backed by gold. Or from 1929 all the way through to 1968, through the entire Great Depression, all of the currency was backed by silver. Or all of it that wasn't backed by gold, it was backed by silver. And the point I'm trying to make, the cash that was king during the Great Depression was gold and silver. It wasn't paper. Even though people were flashing rolls of paper and they're spending, the reason that cash was king was that it was backed by gold or it was backed by silver. I look at that and I speculate and I think to myself, what's that mean about, if, what does that mean if we slide into another depression? If we go into a period of deflation, will paper dollars be king? Will that cash be king, even though it has no intrinsic value? Or, in the midst of another depression, will the real cash that will be king, will it be gold and silver? I cannot prove that the cash that will be king during the next depression, if we have one, will be gold or silver. I can't prove it. But I can advance it as a logical possibility, and I can tell you that I think that's the way it's going to work out. Because the dollar can't stand deflation. The government has imposed inflation on us for throughout my lifetime, with the exception of the last 2 years. They've imposed it. That's the reason why the dollar is only worth about 3-4% as much as it was back in 1971, when they went from a gold standard under national dollars to just pure fiat currency. The dollar lost 97% of its purchasing power. This isn't an accident. I've said it before. It's evidence of an established financial policy by the government. They want inflation. Why? Because the debt is so big they can't pay it. They need inflated dollars so they can pay off the debt with cheaper dollars. They can't stand deflation. If we go into deflation, deflation makes the national debt bigger. It accelerates the moment when we reach, when the government has to admit, guess what? We can't pay the national debt. So you people that are holding those debt instruments are just SOL. You understand? Sorry. The deflation will accelerate our approach to that moment. The deflation will destroy the national debt. It'll force the government to admit it's insolvent. Inflation, they can survive inflation for years, decades. Zimbabwean dollars to continue to function, even when it was, you know, worth a millionth of a percent of what it used to be just a few years earlier, or even months earlier. It continued to function. You can survive inflation. Dollar cannot, fiat currency cannot survive deflation for long. So my point, Mr. Clark says, you know, he's asked, if we go into a period of deflation, won't the price of gold fall? He says, yeah, probably, initially, might be it, but it won't stay there. And I can't say whether it's going to fall initially or not, but he's probably right. People will initially, period of deflation, they will run to cash. And they will mistakenly believe that paper dollars are cash form of money. And they're not. They're just currency. Right? And as they slowly wake up and realize, say, uh-oh, you mean these paper dollars aren't real money? And people begin to say, uh-uh, no, they're not. They're not real money. So I got all these paper dollars. Who could I find who's dumb enough to take them? And what do I want to buy with them? I think we'll move. I think in a significant episode of deflation or a significant episode of inflation, either one, price of gold's got to go up. Price of silver's got to go up. I don't think it can be. I know it can be artificially suppressed for a while. They've done it. We can see it in the last 18, 24 months. We can see that it's happened. But I don't think it can be sustained indefinitely, and therefore, it's one of the reasons why I am so positive. It's not a guaranteed analysis, right? I'm not giving you prophecy here, but it's one of the reasons why I am so positive about gold. I know the price of gold's got to go up in a period of inflation, and I'm about 90% confident that it has to go up in even a period of deflation when we are deflating the dollar and thereby destroying the dollar and amplifying the national debt. I mean, from my perspective, gold is a no-lose situation, and I know that's hard to, you know, in the context of the last 2 years, that sounds like a silly statement. Well, it's a little of that idea of, can you perceive, you know, what's going to happen a day from now? Can you perceive what's going to happen a year from now? Can you perceive what's going to happen a decade from now? You know, none of us, I don't have a gift of prophecy, but you can peer into the future and say, look, this is going to happen. I just don't know when. And therefore, blah, 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 I'm going to hang on to my gold. And we have 30 seconds, Melody, for you to approve, disapprove the following, the previous political statement. Is this made with your approval or disapproval?
I was talking earlier today to one of my clients, and we were talking about, you know, if there were other options. And he mentioned, he says, you know, Bob Chapman used to say the same thing. What else is there out there? Yeah. You know, you can view all these other investment vehicles, and each and every one carries a risk. So you have to turn towards the one of least risk, one that's carrying the least amount of risk.
There's no guarantees.
There's no guarantees in anything in this world. There's no guarantees anything in this world.
Except
for discount gold and silver.
And bumper music.
And discount gold and silver. 1-800-375-4188. Man, he's quick tonight.
Nah, he's just an ornery group. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom. We'll be back mañana. Hope you'll tune in then. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye. Penny left for me. That's too bad.